This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening. Day-Day's got me working overtime tonight. I mean, we're with you for the full 3 hours and 2 minutes. So we're working overtime. Do we get compensated for that? Do we get compensation for that?
Yeah, I think there's a little extra some.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know you've been here since 2 o'clock, so you don't. You make the same money either way, so. But some of us, you know, working here overtime. Anyway. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your typewriter, your Garmin GPS, your Walkman. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, it's through our personal Twitter pages, at JMCH316. That's your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for Real. Well, we get ready for Falcons foosball coming up tomorrow night as the preseason will officially end. And in a week, we'll have all of the cuts. So it's obviously going to be this big player dump now. It's not the staggered type of cutdowns that we've been used to. Now it's just one big player dump onto the open marketplace. And we'll see, you know, what happens with the Falcons, if there's some guys they look at signing or what have you. Certainly there'll be some guys that they want to pick up, but we get ready for preseason game number 3. We'll have all the action right here on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 5:30 pregame, that will be Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. And then Wes and Dave will have the call at 7:30. And, of course, Mike and Chris will be on postgame as well. So, and that'll be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So we'll see. You know, again, I don't expect the starters to play. I'll talk a little bit more about this in the Falcons flyover, because I did think it was interesting. I know what fans want, and I understand, and I get that, and I am sympathetic to that, but you got to understand, it's a different NFL now, right? I mean, everything is different about the NFL. Practices and everything else, preseasons and everything else is different in today's NFL. So we'll talk more about that coming up in the Falcons flyover. Also, too, our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney, is going to join us coming up at 8:20 this evening. So we'll get a chance to peek into what she's looking for coming up tomorrow night and some thoughts about the roster and some other things going on around the Falcons team. Let's talk Braves here as we get started. So they have this, what is this thing Day-Day called? The Hall of Fame broadcast or whatever.
Yeah, with Smoltz and all those guys.
Yeah, Smoltz, Chipper, around. Glavin, you know, Jeff Francoeur, right? That this is the second time. And it was such a big hit, and they got such good ratings for it that what do when we get good ratings? We do it over again, right? We Bogart it, and we steal, and we copycat it, and all those good kinds of things. So they're doing this Braves Hall of Fame broadcast here tonight. Now, here's where we're at, okay? And I want to get out of this, you know, tonight. We've got to beat the mutts tonight. Obviously, we're trying to win the series, and we'll get a little bit more in the game here in just a second, but we're trying to win the series. So what we need is we need to beat the mutts tonight, and we need the Nationals to beat the Yankees. Now, they beat the Yankees last night. Washington did their job. So we need the Nationals to beat the Yankees, and we need to beat the Mutts. And you know what that officially makes? The Mutts are in last place. They would be officially in last place if they lose. F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. They're going to suck for the rest of your life. So we need them to fit. We need them after tonight to be in last place. And that would be so fitting for a team and franchise that, Day-Day, do you remember before the season started and they had committed like $20 trillion? Like they had the GDP of California committed to payroll. You know, again, the only person, the only people who have more money than the federal government is Steve Cohen.
Right.
And they committed all this payroll, and they actually thought, Mets fans, analysts, pundits, you know, as my buddy Mel in Southwest Atlanta would say, so-called experts. They all thought the Mets could compete with the Atlanta Braves. They actually thought that. What a scuzzbag organization. They get everything they deserve. So let's beat the Mutts tonight. Make sure we take 2 out of 3. And let's root the Nationals on. Because they've got the Yuckies, by the way, too. So it's not like they're playing, you know, somebody that we would like. I mean, they're playing the stinking Yankees. So screw them, too. But really, screw the Mutts. I mean, Day-Day, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but just to let you in on some inside baseball. I hate the Mutts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know if I've ever brought that up to you before, but I really hate them. And I like seeing, oh, okay, here we go.
F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. They're going to suck for the rest of your life.
All right, we got that out of our system. Look, Bryce Elder was really good. He needed another good start. Feeling better about Bryce Elder. Let's see if he can do 3 in a row now. That's my thing. I mean, we got one in a row, good. Two in a row, really good. Three in a row, now we got something. Let's see him get back to, because again, we're going to need him come playoff time. Not for the division, not anything down the stretch in the regular season. We need him for the playoffs. We need a good fourth starter because, again, you're not going to be able to just slug your way through the postseason. You're going to have to be able to pitch at some point. Charlie Morton gets the ball tonight, and, you know, we'll see what he's got. I mean, you know, again, these guys kind of hit this wall at some point, whether it's fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning. I mean, they just kind of hit these walls. And, again, Morton is, I think, four wins away from his career high in a season. So, you know, he's trying to keep that on track. And certainly if he wins tonight, he'll certainly be right on track to break that record of his own personal record, just most wins in a season. So I think 16 is his most. He's got 12 here coming into tonight. The Tour Championship is going to be underway coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to our buddy Will Gray. We always, when we preview golf, we always talk to our buddy Will Gray, formerly of the Golf Channel and all that. So he's involved in the world of golf betting now. And John Rahm had some interesting things to say. We'll bring that up to Will because it does specifically tie into gambling and such. And Will is very involved in that, working with the PGA Tour as far as their gambling sites and stuff go. So we'll talk about the Tour Championship. One of the great events, and I will tell you, what makes Atlanta special is, yes, we have the biggest of the biggest events, right? SEC Championship game, college football, national semifinals and national final. Final Four is here, Super Bowl here, World Cup is coming. Obviously, we've had the Olympics here, right? And then, you know, you go down. Obviously, we have multiple professional sports teams. We've got United. We've got, you know, the Braves. We've got the Hawks. We've got the Falcons. We've got the, you know, WNBA team, the Dream. We've got a lot of professional teams. But I will tell you that one of the things that also makes Atlanta great is all of these sort of tentacles of sporting events that they're on the radar, but maybe not at some of the levels that, again, World Cup or things like that. Tour Championship is one of those events. This is one of the great events in the city of Atlanta. What is that? Is it the BB&T Open, the one that they have at Atlantic Station? The tennis tournament? Mm-hmm. That's another great event.
Yeah, and then they just had that big volleyball, the beach volleyball type deal that they just had over there as well.
Yeah, and again, all the high school football and everything that goes along with it. There's just so many great events, sporting event-wise, around Atlanta. You know, and again, I'm not going to call Augusta Atlanta, but the Tour Championship is, you know, wholeheartedly Atlanta. But that's one of those great events that just, you know, if you've never been to the Tour Championship, it's worth going. It's really neat to see. I had the event out at Fairway and Social last Friday, and we had a good time out there. Gave away some tickets and a couple of passes to the Michelob Ultra Lounge, and you know that's right between the 13th green and 14th tee, and just a very cool area. I've broadcast out there before. Been very fortunate to do some of the things that I've done. Randy Mack and I broadcast out there a few years ago. So again, it's one of the great events that is kind of, I don't want to say it's under the radar, but maybe it's underrated in some ways. And again, it's all, you know, the big money guys and such that have to qualify for this. But it's certainly one of the great events that takes place in Atlanta sports. We'll talk to our buddy Real Gray about all of that. As we said, Falcons get ready for tomorrow night. And, you know, coming up here at about 10, 11 minutes from right now, I'll give you what my thoughts are about what I'm looking for coming up here in preseason, you know, game number three. So, and again, I don't expect to see any starters by and large. Maybe Ebba Cady plays a lot like he did against Miami. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, I don't really know what the plan is, and Arthur Smith is very coy about these things, other than the fact that he said, look, the starters are going to play in game two. Okay, they had to play at some point, right? You weren't going to go three games with no starters playing, you know, even a snap. So, again, it was easy to call game number two. That's sort of the, I don't know, the modern-day dress rehearsal for, you know, some teams. Now, again, we're going to see Aaron coming up. What is that, Saturday day, right? It's Saturday that he's going to play. And he's going to get his first preseason action, you know, of his new Jets career or what have you. I wonder how long he'll play. I would guess he'll play a series or two. He won't even. He might play the first quarter, depending on how many series that the Jets get. But this will be Aaron's first preseason action. But he's not going to play long, and he's not going to do a whole lot, and they're not going to ask much of him or anything like that. So again, we don't see this in today's modern football world with the 17-game schedule, the reduced preseason. And again, now you can't cut guys down. You know, you don't have that ability to cut guys down and be able to focus. Okay, we get some of these guys out of the way. Now we can focus on some of these other guys in a more intimate setting. No, you have to just drop everybody all at one time. So again, it's a different game. It's a different world within the NFL. So, like I said, we'll talk to Torrey McElhaney about all of that at 8:20. And we'll get more into this as we head to the final segment of the show. R.I.P. to the Funkster. Did you see Terry Funk officially passed away?
No.
Yeah, Terry Funk passed away. He's been really sick. I've been listening to Cornette talking about it. You know, he's been pretty sick over this last year or so. And, you know, I don't want to say it's not surprising, because it's always surprising when the actual final end happens. But he has been sick. He has had a lot of health issues over the last year or two, and we finally lost him. So again, we'll talk about this more at the end segment. But one of the absolute greatest professional wrestlers in history, one of the most influential. Most influential wrestlers in professional wrestling history, one of the great families in professional wrestling history. So much tied to that Amarillo territory with you know, his dad and obviously Terry and Dory Funk Jr. Both of them were former NWA World Heavyweight Champions. So just so much history with Dory Funk Sr. Just so much about the Amarillo territory. Amarillo, Texas, by the way, is where we're talking. Their family ran. And again, they would run against the Poffos and all this kind of stuff. But Terry Funk, one of the absolute innovators, one of the absolute most influential people in the history of wrestling. And you think about the fact that he wrestled in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even in the 2000s, right? He was doing stuff for ECW. Remember, he was on WCW, what, 99, 2000, right before they ended.
Yeah. Yep. And then he was recently training someone, too, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe that's what the post was about. I saw a post, and I think he was talking with Edge, I think, about right before a match Edge was getting ready to have with somebody. Because I saw a picture somebody posted. So that might have been why they posted that picture, and I just didn't put two and two together.
And I thought, doesn't Dory still do some behind-the-scenes stuff for WWE? I thought Dory, his younger brother, I thought he did some stuff for them still. But, again, I may have that wrong. But I thought at one time, I think at one time he was an agent for the company, like Arn Anderson was an agent for them. But, again, the Funkster, RIP. If you don't know about his wrestling career, watch him in Roadhouse, right? He's one of the bouncers that is with the bad guys, with Ben Gazzara and those bad guys. So, all right, when we come back, what I'm looking for tomorrow night, if you want to give your thoughts, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line if you want to drop us a line and chime in. What I'm looking for tomorrow night in this Falcons game. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 in the game, the Odyssey.com app.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our phone line if you want to jump in, give us your thoughts about what you're looking for tomorrow night. By the way, top of the hour, going to watch a little AEW. We had a really nice interview with Darby Allin, had a good interview with Britt Baker as well. It's always funny, Day-Day, because all of the wrestling websites always pick up our stuff when we do those interviews. I saw clips and quotes from the interview with Darby Allin because it was going, you know, the idea of him being, he's going to be with AEW for life and there'll be no bidding war. That made all of the rounds on all of the websites and everything like that.
That's why I titled that. When he said that, I was like, bingo.
Yeah. So, I mean, that made all of the websites and That was the quote that was pulled. So anyway, and we'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. But first, my thoughts. Look, here's what I'm looking for tomorrow night. I want to see the bubble guys that they're either going to make it or they're going to lose it. You know, that's the Jalen Mayfields of the world. You know, those kinds of players. They're either going to make it or they're not. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is another guy. The Josh Allies of the world. Like, you know, the Penny Harts of the world. You know, I want to see those guys that are on the bubble and see who's going to make it and who's going to find themselves cut. Because, again, this is basically your last big opportunity. Yes, there'll be some practices before they have to go out and make cuts and stuff. But and we'll see the trickle down of the cuts. But it basically is just a big player dump. But I want to see guys that are roster bubble types of guys and see what they can do. Like I said, Jalen Mayfield's one of those guys that really is on the bubble line, and I want to see if he looks competent and can make this team or not. The other thing that I want to see is just getting back to that same aggression that we had in week one versus the Dolphins and bringing that aggression. Again, I thought defensively they played pretty well, but I didn't see that same aggression getting after the quarterback, creating as many turnovers, you know, as they did in week one. You know, we didn't see as much of that with the Bungles as what we did against the Dolphins week one. I want to see us grab a whole handful of sacks and create three or four turnovers. Like, I want to see that aggressive nature on defense again this week. Other thing I'm going to be looking for is whether or not guys like Arnold Ebiketie play a lot. You know, Ebiketie played way more than I think a lot of people thought he would in preseason game number one. Is there going to be some guys who are, you know, Ebiketie, you know, D. Alford, that are going to play a lot in tomorrow night's game? I wonder. You know, and maybe it's some things that they're specifically working on that they're trying to get better at. But I am going to be curious to see if there are some guys that are not on the bubble that are locked solid on this roster as to whether or not that they will be, you know, playing any kind of role. And I'm not talking about Pitts and London and Ridder. Again, those guys are all – but Ebiketie was kind of a surprise. Maybe D. Alford a little bit of a surprise as well. But, again, it's also a numbers game. There's only so many guys that you have available to it. So those are a few of the things that I'm specifically looking for. 404-726-0929. Let's grab Marcus out in College Park. What's going on, Marcus?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
how's it going, man?
How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm like you, man. I want to see consistent pressure from this defensive line, even if it's, you know, guys fighting for a position or guys that's about to get cut trying to make another team to show that I got it, I can play in the league, maybe, you know, and I got a question for you, man.
Yes.
Let me know what you think, man. It's third down. Who do you want to be that guy that I mean, of course, he can't make a play every third down, but we need that one guy that offense is going to have to worry about, like, oh, this guy, he's going to be our beast on third down. He's either going to get to the quarterback or he's going to make that play. I don't know who it's going to be, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that if you had a second.
Are you talking about defensively or offensively?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, defensively.
Oh.
Because third down, man, I remember going to Falcons games and the guy would say, everybody on your feet, third down, it's third down. And, man, I sit right back on down because they get third and longs on us, man. And I know you know what I'm talking about.
I know. I appreciate it, Marcus. Look, I've been consistent in the fact that I think Ebiketie has to have the biggest step-up season. I think even more than Desmond Ridder. I have to feel like I have one of these fire breathers coming off the edge. All of the high-caliber teams get after the quarterback. All of the high-caliber players that get after quarterbacks have really good defenses. I need Arnold Ebiketie to be that guy. And I think he's the most likely candidate. But I need him to learn how to be that guy. Not two sacks, not get close, not play well at times. you know, again, you saw that aggression out of him in week one of the preseason. Now, again, I know it's against the third string back, but if he can't dominate those guys, how's he going to dominate the? How's he going to dominate Trent Williams? If he can't dominate the third team of the Dolphins, how's he going to dominate Trent Williams? How's he going to dominate Tristan Wirfs? How's he going to line up against those guys? Right? That's what I got to see. Now, to his point, I agree that the consistent pressure, and also to his point, I don't care what the name is on the back of the jersey. I really don't. I don't care. Even in week one, it didn't matter what name was on the back of the jersey. What mattered is what that symbol represents in the front and on the helmet, and they were getting after people. And that's what I want to see. You know, Trevor Siemian at times looked way too comfortable throwing the ball around. And Trevor Siemian's, look, let's face it, I mean, he's pretty much nobody. But I want to see that consistent pressure. I want to see our defensive line get after it. I don't care who's playing on our defensive line. I don't care what the number or the name is on the back of the jersey. I don't even care what the number is on the front of the jersey. I just want to see the guys that have that Falcon logo on the side of their helmet end up a bunch in the backfield of the Steelers. That's what I want to see out of all of it. Offensively, what are we going to learn offensively? If we're not going to have Pitts and London and those guys, if we're not going to have Bijan, you know, our leading rusher has been this Igwe Bukwe guy, whatever. I mean, okay. I mean, if they keep all these running backs, then, yeah, maybe he's got a spot, but I'm not even worried about seeing that. I just want to see our defense get after it. I want to see us put that pressure on teams like we did in week one. The only other thing that I may be interested in, and I can't get a handle on all of this, and maybe there's a lot of gamesmanship in this so far, is our punt return. You know, D. Alford had the touchdown, and then he's not listed in the top three on the depth chart. Mike Hughes is probably not going to be ready. Well, maybe he'll be ready week one, but he's obviously been out. He hasn't returned a punt yet, yet he's listed as our number one punt returner, first-team punt returner. Now, again, that may be just a ploy, and I'm not looking at, okay, who they're going to line up these guys on the depth chart, one, two, three. But if D. Alford's going to be on the punt team, when we thought we have seen him, even if you're just going to protect D. Alford, even if it's just a matter of, hey, he's on the depth chart and we're not going to play him, just kind of protecting him, that this, again, I want to have a better feeling about who's going to return punts for us, because I do think Avery Williams is a definite blow on this team, that not having him back to return punts, he was one of the better young up-and-coming punt return guys and had aggressiveness about him. He wanted to return punts. It wasn't just, hey, let me put my hand up in the air and wave and just fair catch everything. You know, the Allen Rossums and guys like that of the world. But I thought that he was, you know, becoming a really good punt return specialist for us. And I wanted to see him gain another year under his belt and see what he could do. But obviously the injury is going to keep him out for the season, and I hate it for him. You know, but we have to find somebody. Again, you can't underestimate what having a good punt return guy does for your offense. If we have a guy who can pick up almost a extra first down, that's huge. Again, when you start to get into the analytics and metrics of different things, field position is a big deal. Field position coming off of kickoffs is a big deal. You know, most of the best teams start at a certain position on the field. The lousy teams start further back in punts and kicks and all that. So starting field position is one of those big things. And Avery Williams looked like a guy who, okay, maybe another year of growth in this system and doing some things and having the confidence to do it all, maybe it would come together. But obviously, you know, we're kind of stuck, you know, on that. So again, I want to see. I don't know. I want to see something. I get a better feeling for who should or should not be our punt return guys. But outside of that, I just want our defense to win our one-on-ones, get pressure on the quarterback, create turnovers, and not through the first team and, you know, again, all this kind of stuff. I just want to see those guys, whatever their names are on the back of their jersey, look more like they did in week one than even week two. And again, I'm not disappointed in what the Falcons did in week two, but I want to see more of that week one kind of flair. And if it's guys that are fighting for roster spots and guys that are on the bubble, then so be it. And hopefully those guys, you know, they take this thing serious and they want to play in the NFL and they go out there and they just wreak havoc and create chaos and do all of these different things. So that's what I'm looking for at the end of the day. And, of course, we'll have all the action right here on 92.9 The Game, your home of the Atlanta Falcons, your radio home of the Atlanta Falcons. 5:30 pregame, that'll be Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth. They'll also have it for halftime. They'll also have the postgame action after the final kick. And then 7:30, toe meets leather. Wes and Dave will have the call for all of that. And the preseason will be wrapped up. We talked about this a few weeks ago. It's done. It's just about to be done. We've got, 60 minutes of football to play, and it's done. And then we can start talking about regular season because the roster cuts will happen. We'll know what the roster looks like. We'll see if the Falcons use some of their money and cap space and take some of that money and try to go get somebody and strengthen some areas, or if they kind of feel like they're in pretty good shape. We'll see what happens. And our practice squad, too. I'm interested to see who's going to end up making the practice squad when all is said and done. So there'll be a lot of activity right after the game over the next couple few days as we get everything kind of organized and feel like, okay, now we're ready for the regular season. All right, well, our buddy Will Gray is going to come up next. We'll talk about the Tour Championship. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, you heard earlier today, Freaky and Mike Bell were broadcasting from Eastlake at the Tour Championship, and we'll have coverage all weekend long from the event. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy, Will Gray. Of course, helping the PGA out, overseeing Golf Bet, your thing, your source for all things golf and betting. And you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Will Gray Golf Bet. Will, as always, my friend, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes here in the home of the Tour Championship in Atlanta, GA.
Yeah, John, always good to be with you, especially when you get the home game this week up at Eastlake.
Yeah, and before we get in the tournament, I want to ask you, though, I want to ask you a couple of different things. You know, the quotes from Jon Rahm this week in talking about, you know, and again, I know you work for the PGA, and one of their spokespeople kind of tried to downplay the idea of spectators trying to distract golfers and such. But what did you make of the comments from Jon Rahm when he says, it happens way more often you guys may hear, is very, very present. Spectators are very close. They're close enough that they want to say that you're their buddy, or I'll bet 10 bucks he's going to miss. Or what did you make of his comments about golf and spectators and all the betting that goes around it?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a story last week with Max Homa at the BMW Championship. I was up there at Olympia Fields. And listen, it's something that as we continue to have more states have legalized betting and as we get deeper into it from the PGA Tour and a golf bet perspective, it's something that we definitely take seriously, right? So you can't have, more betting and yet try and turn away from these instances where it can pop up. I mean, what Rahm said is accurate. You have in no other sport do you have this many front row seats. You have a front row seat on every single hole, essentially. And so eventually we're going to have times where maybe folks get a little extra hydrated and they start chirping off a little bit. Last week it was a $3 bet between, this guy and the other guy. It wasn't someone that had, $1,000 riding on it at DraftKings or FanDuel or something like that, but it's still an element that we need to regulate, and we're continuing to do so. I mean, those fans were immediately ejected from the BMW last week. It's something that we take very seriously. And the player feedback is also something that is taken seriously as well, because we need to make sure that the players are comfortable with where the sport stands with legalized betting, and we need to make sure that we're moving forward in lockstep with them. So I think it's something that definitely has a ton of positives for the game. And Rahm and Rory McIlroy said that as much this week in terms of, fan engagement and giving people, a reason to watch and go and give them a little excitement when they're on the grounds. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we are doing it in a responsible way.
And Will, as obviously, again, and we're one of the states that is kind of being left behind. That's another discussion for another day with legalized sports gambling. But how much of an increase, I mean, you're in this industry all the time. How much of an increase in golf betting have you seen over the last couple of years as more and more states are legalizing gambling? How much activity has been around the world of golf as far as golf betting goes?
I mean, it's significant. I certainly can feel it when you're on the ground at a state that has legalized betting. Like last week, we were in Illinois, and they have legalized betting, and you have folks walking around with their apps on their phone and talking about the way the odds are moving. And from my perspective, that's good. But at the same time, it's something that we need to take a measured approach with. I think that the area that we are trying to make sure that we move responsibly is the in-game play, right? The live betting, because that's something that it's prevalent in other sports, but I think golf is especially so, where you can, it's not just about placing a bet on Wednesday before the tournament starts and tuning in Sunday to see who won the tournament. It's about, is John Rahm going to make a bogey or a par on the 10th or 11th hole? And so if you're going to have that sort of offering, you need to make sure that the people that are surrounding John Rahm on the 10th hole are going to be responsible in the way that they act.
Will Gray from Golf Bet joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's also talk about the Ryder Cup. We obviously know Scheffler and Wyndham Clark, they're locks. They have qualified to make the team. Cantlie, Harmon, Koepka, Homa, I guess most of those guys are going to be on as well. Schauffele, Jordan Spieth. What about some of the guys that are on the bubble? When you talk about a Cameron Young or a Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, where do you think some of those guys are? Are they mostly locks, or who's kind of that next tier of guys that is most likely to make the Ryder Cup team?
Yeah, right now we've got six spots that locked last week. Six picks will be made by Zach Johnson for the U.S. squad after this week's Tour Championship, and it feels like there's a lot of probable locks, and then one big wild card. I think guys like Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, those guys got to feel pretty safe. Especially going on the road, the U.S. has not won a Ryder Cup in Europe in 30 years. So they're going to want to have some of that veteran presence. I think Justin Thomas, even though he has not played well this year, he has a great Ryder Cup and match play record. I would be surprised if JT was not on the team. And then it feels like there's one spot left on the team that maybe Cam Young has the inside track, but he's not in the field this week at Eastlake among those 30 players. So it opens up a window for maybe Sam Burns, maybe Lucas Glover, if they have a standout week and kind of force the hand of Zach Johnson, say, hey, you have to pick me, I think that spot might come at the expense of someone like Cam Young, who has not won on the PGA Tour and has not yet been on the Ryder Cup.
Traditionally, how was this course played? I mean, this tournament at this time of the year, it's immensely hot. You know, again, we're, you know, in the hottest month of the year that we have here in the state of Georgia. I mean, it's not like April when the Masters is taking place. This is the dead of summertime, like dead red of heat and humidity in summertime. How has this course been for golfers over the years, just as far as not even just the course, but in dealing with the elements and things like that that you have to deal with?
It's certainly a bit of a trade-off. I mean, I think that this is part of the larger, you know, schedule adjustment that the PGA Tour went through 5 or 6 years ago and trying to move off of early September and get away from the NFL. So that, you know, that's the trade-off, is if you want to have a standalone week for your showcase event, it's probably going to be in late August when it's dead red. I mean, I'm in Florida. I feel that heat that you guys have as well. So I definitely get it. The course at Eastlake holds up pretty well, I think, if you ask the players. There's some quirks about it being Bermuda grass, especially when you get in the rough. You're not really sure how it's going to come out, but the greens are always so pure. It's one of the trademarks of Eastlake, and the course this week is in as good of shape as you've come to expect and as the players have come to expect. So it's going to still be a firm test with as much water and trouble as you have out there. It's easy to go the wrong way, even though a lot of these guys are starting the week under par, especially with Scottie Scheffler starting the week at 10 under. But it's not going to be a cruise for all 30 of those guys, for sure.
Well, take away the – and I know this is not easy, but take away the amount of money aspect of this tournament. When it comes to the golfers, I mean, I know it's not a major, obviously, and it's, you know, again, it's never going to be the biggest tournament in this state. But as far as just – where this tournament is amongst the golfers or the industry insiders and things like that, how do they view this tournament? I mean, again, I know it's a big money tournament, but just as far as the cachet and the course and everything that goes along with it, what do the insiders and the golfers themselves think about this tournament?
I think that it's certainly been in the annual rotation, so to speak, where it started to get its own personality and its own feel. I think that where it falls in the schedule, a lot of people use this to round out resumes. I think if you look at the top, right now, I would say Jon Rahm probably has the edge for Player of the Year, but it's maybe a little close with Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. If Rahm comes back and wins this week, he puts a stamp on 2023 as this was my year. And I think similarly, Scottie Scheffler looks at this as a chance to get, you know, he's had such a great year statistically, and I think if you ask him, he feels like he hasn't gotten as much out of it as he would have hoped. He's won twice. He won the Players, a huge event, but still, for as well as he's played, you feel like he should have won 3 or 4 times. This is an opportunity for him to get a little bit more out of the season and look back and say, all right, I was the guy from bell to bell, the season-long champ for 2023. So I think that that's how guys look at it, somewhat of a qualitative measure. Even you look back to last year with Rory McIlroy, it really meant a lot to him to come out on top and to put that stamp on his season, even though he didn't win a major. It's definitely something that guys rank in that discussion, even though it's below the four that everyone knows.
So, obviously, you're involved in golf betting and odds and all this good kind of stuff. So, give me an idea. Who are some guys that could surprise this weekend and maybe are some long shots that could win you some money? Or, you know, who are some of the betting favorites right now for this tournament?
Yeah, this isn't a week for the long shots, both because it's a short field, 30 guys, and because of the staggered start where you literally have Scottie Scheffler starting with a 2-shot advantage. I think I saw this week if he had started, if you give him 2 extra shots on every start he made this year, he would have either won or been in the playoff 56% of the time.
Wow.
So he's always been in the mix. I would expect him to be in the mix again this week. In the 4 years since this format has started, the winner has either been the number one seed or Rory McIlroy. Rory's done it twice coming from behind, so he's someone to watch. I think if you go down the board, Xander Schauffele, who's starting 6 or 7 shots back, he has a really good track record at Eastlake, so he's someone to keep an eye on. But for the most part, I think if you go down there's 30 guys in the field. I think if you go through the top four, the guys that are starting from 10 under down to 6 under, and that's Scheffler, Hovland, who won last week, Rahm and Rory, I think your winner is going to be from that group, and it's just a matter of which one kind of nudges ahead of the other three.
Will, last question for you. How do the guys like this format? I mean, obviously, it's a little different format, but again, it's a unique tournament, you know, in just, you know, when and where and everything like that, you know, being played with those, you know, this, what's at stake here. How do guys like this type of tournament with, you know, the staggered, you know, scoring and things like that? Like, how do they like this overall?
I think it depends on who you ask. I think the general sentiment is it's easy to understand. It's a little bit more straightforward than in previous years when you kind of had the dual trophy shot where you had one guy win the Tour Championship and one guy win the FedEx Cup, and you're trying to do math and permutations and projections on how many points your T4 gets you versus a T5. So this is more straightforward. When you tune in on Saturday and Sunday, you know, hey, he's leading. If he wins, he's going to win the whole thing. I still think it's hard to strike that balance between having an 11-month season, essentially. Next year it's going to change where the 2024 season goes back to the calendar, so we're starting fresh in January. We're not doing the wraparound stuff anymore. But when you have a season of that length, it's hard to balance having a season-long champion where you want to reward someone like Scottie Scheffler, who has been so dominant for the past 9, 10, 11 months, versus giving the bottom five in the field a chance to win it all. And so you have to try and strike that balance where the guys up top feel like, hey, there's probably a little too much volatility. The guys at the bottom say, hey, I don't have as much of a chance as I need to in order to really make a run. So, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think they're trying their best to find a sweet spot. We're 5 years into this new format. I think it's provided a lot of excitement and entertainment, especially last year with Rory and Scheffler going down the stretch on Sunday. Hopefully we have another battle like that, maybe two or three guys really duking it out down the back nine, and we'll see. But anytime you're trying to balance 10 months with 72 holes and give everyone a chance on either side of it, it's tough to strike the balance.
I said last question, but I want maybe just a 30-second answer on another thing. Is there any extra motivation for golfers from sponsors or different things like that that's associated with this? I mean, besides just the prize money itself, are golfers, is there any kinds of bonuses with sponsors or anything like that, that there's maybe extra incentive to win a tournament like this?
I would use the Don Draper line. That's what the money's for. I think that all these guys have the prestige of they want to be the season-long champion. They want their name on the FedEx Cup. There's a lot of perks that come with just making this elite field. You have a two-year exemption now. You're in all the majors in 2024. So just getting to East Lake is a huge achievement. And then from there, you kind of jostle it out, and you're playing for bragging rights and a whole lot of money.
Will Gray, he is our golf guy and oversees Golf Bet, your source for all things golf and betting. He is on Twitter, at Will Gray Golf Bet, and join me on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Will, as always, my friend, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for all season long being with us here, and we will certainly talk again here soon.
Yeah, sounds good, John. Be well.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, will be time for the Falcons flyover. All your news and notes, and we'll hear from Arthur Smith, Desmond Ritter, and Bijan Robinson. I guess it's Bijan now, right? It's not Bijan. Isn't it Bijan?
No, Bijan. Bijan.
Excuse me? Gesundheit. Anyway, all that next. Chuck from the Kia Studios. Sports right now to the game, Odyssey.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, you heard earlier today, Freaky and Mike Bell were broadcasting from Eastlake at the Tour Championship, and we'll have coverage all weekend long from the event. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy, Will Gray. Of course, helping the PGA out, overseeing Golf Bet, your source for all things golf and betting. And you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Will Gray Golf Bet. Will, as always, my friend, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes here in the home of the Tour Championship in Atlanta, GA.
Yeah, John, always good to be with you, especially when you get the home game this week up at Eastlake.
Yeah, and before we get in the tournament, I want to ask you, though, a couple of different things. You know, the quotes from Jon Rahm this week in talking about, you know, and again, I know you work for the PGA, and one of their spokespeople kind of tried to downplay the idea of spectators trying to distract golfers and such. But what did you make of the comments from Jon Rahm when he says it happens way more often you guys may hear? It's very, very present. Spectators are very close. They're close enough that they want to say that you're their buddy. Or I'll bet $10 he's going to miss. Or what did you make of his comments about golf and spectators and all the betting that goes around it?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a story last week with Max Homa at the BMW Championship. I was up there at Olympia Fields. And listen, it's something that as we continue to have more states have legalized betting and as we get deeper into it from the PGA Tour and a golf bet perspective, it's something that we definitely take seriously, right? So you can't have more betting and yet try and turn away from these instances where it can pop up. I mean, what Rahm said is accurate. You have in no other sport do you have this many front row seats. You can have a front row seat on every single hole, essentially. And so eventually we're going to have times where maybe folks get a little extra hydrated and they start chirping off a little bit. Last week it was a $3 bet between, you know, this guy and the other guy. It wasn't someone that had, you know, $1,000 riding on it at DraftKings or FanDuel or something like that, but it's still an element that we need to regulate, and we're continuing to do so. I mean, those fans were immediately ejected from the BMW last week. It's something that we take very seriously. And the player feedback is also something that is taken seriously as well, because we need to make sure that the players are comfortable with where the sport stands with legalized betting, and we need to make sure that we are moving forward in lockstep with them. So I think it's something that definitely has a ton of positives for the game. And you know, Rahm and Rory McIlroy said that as much this week in terms of, you know, fan engagement and giving people, you know, a reason to watch and go and give them a little excitement when they're on the grounds. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we are doing it in a responsible way.
And Will, as obviously, again, and we're one of the states that is kind of being left behind. That's another discussion for another day with legalized sports gambling. But how much of an increase, I mean, you're in this industry all the time. How much of an increase in golf betting have you seen over the last couple of years as more and more states are legalizing gambling? How much activity has been around the world of golf as far as golf betting goes?
I mean, it's significant. I certainly can feel it when you're on the ground at a state that has legalized betting. Like last week, we were in Illinois, and they have legalized betting, and you have folks walking around with their apps on their phone and talking about the way the odds are moving. And you know, from my perspective, that's good. But at the same time, it's something that we need to take a measured approach with. I think that the area that we are trying to make sure that we move responsibly is the in-game play, right? The live betting, because that's something that you know, it's prevalent in other sports, but I think golf is especially so, where you can, you know, it's not just about placing a bet on Wednesday before the tournament starts and tuning in Sunday to see who won the tournament. It's about, you know, is John Rahm going to make a bogey or a par on the 10th or 11th hole? And so if you're going to have that sort of offering, you need to make sure that the people that are surrounding John Rahm on the 10th hole are going to be responsible in the way that they act.
Will Gray from GolfBet joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's also talk about the Ryder Cup. We obviously know Scheffler and Wyndham Clark, they're locks. They have qualified to make the team. Cantley, Harmon, Koepka, Homa, I guess most of those guys are going to be on as well. Schauffele, Jordan Spieth. What about some of the guys that are on the bubble? When you talk about a Cameron Young or a Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, where do you think some of those guys are? Are they mostly locks, or, you know, who's kind of that next tier of guys that is most likely to make the Ryder Cup team?
Yeah, right now we've got six spots that locked last week. Six picks will be made by Zach Johnson for the U.S. squad after this week's tour championship, and it feels like there's a lot of probable locks, and then one big wild card. I think guys like you know, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, those guys got to feel pretty safe. Especially going on the road. The U.S. has not won a Ryder Cup in Europe in 30 years. So they're going to want to have some of that veteran presence. I think Justin Thomas, even though he has not played well this year, he has a great Ryder Cup and match play record. I would be surprised if JT was not on the team. And then it feels like there's one spot left on the team that it, maybe Cam Young has the inside track, but he's not in the field this week at Eastlake among those 30 players. So it opens up a window for maybe Sam Burns, maybe Lucas Glover. If they have a standout week and kind of force the hand of Zach Johnson, say, hey, you have to pick me, I think that spot might come at the expense of someone like Cam Young, who has not won on the PGA Tour and has not yet been on the Ryder Cup.
Traditionally, how is this course played? I mean, you know, this tournament at this time of the year, it's immensely hot. You know, again, we're, you know, in the hottest month of the year that we have here in the state of Georgia. I mean, it's not like April when the Masters is taking place. This is the dead of summertime, like dead red of heat and humidity in summertime. How has this course been for golfers over the years, just as far as not even just the course, but in dealing with the elements and things like that that you have to deal with?
It's certainly a bit of a trade-off. I mean, I think that this is part of the larger, you know, schedule adjustment that the PGA Tour went through 5 or 6 years ago in trying to move off of early September and get away from the NFL. So that, you know, that's the trade-off, is if you want to have a standalone week for your showcase event, it's probably going to be in late August when it's dead red. I mean, I'm in Florida. I feel that heat that you guys have as well. So I definitely get it. The course at Eastlake holds up pretty well, I think, if you ask the players. There's some quirks about it being Bermuda grass, especially when you get in the rough. You're not really sure how it's going to come out, but the greens are always so pure. It's one of the trademarks of Eastlake, and the course this week is in as good of shape as you've come to expect and as the players have come to expect. So it's going to still be a firm test with as much water and trouble as you have out there. It's easy to go the wrong way, even though a lot of these guys are starting the week under par, especially with Scottie Scheffler starting the week at 10 under. But it's not going to be a cruise for all 30 of those guys, for sure.
Will, take away the – and I know this is not easy, but take away the amount of money aspect of this tournament – When it comes to the golfers, I mean, I know it's not a major, obviously, and it's, you know, again, it's never going to be the biggest tournament in this state. But as far as just where this tournament is amongst the golfers or the industry insiders and things like that. How do they view this tournament? I mean, again, I know it's a big money tournament, but just as far as the cachet and the course and everything that goes along with it, what do the insiders and the golfers themselves think about this tournament?
I think that it's certainly been in the annual rotation, so to speak, where it started to get its own personality and its own feel. I think that where it falls in the schedule, a lot of people use this to round out resumes. I think if you look at the top, right now I would say John Rahm probably has the edge for player of the year, but it's maybe a little close with Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. If Rahm comes back and wins this week, he puts a stamp on 2023 as this was my year. And I think similarly, Scottie Scheffler looks at this as a chance to get, you know, he's had such a great year statistically. And I think if you ask him, he feels like he hasn't gotten as much out of it as he would have hoped. He's won twice. He won the Players, a huge event, but still, for as well as he's played, you feel like he should have won three or four times. This is an opportunity for him to get a little bit more out of the season and look back and say, all right, I was the guy from bell to bell, the season-long champ for 2023. So I think that that's how guys look at it, somewhat of a qualitative measure. Even you look back to last year with Rory McIlroy, it really meant a lot to him to come out on top and to put that stamp on his season, even though he didn't win a major. It's definitely something that guys rank in that discussion, even though it's below the four that everyone knows.
So, obviously, you're involved in golf betting and odds and all this good kind of stuff. So, give me an idea. Who are some guys that could surprise this weekend and maybe are some long shots that could win you some money? Or, you know, who are some of the betting favorites right now for this tournament?
Yeah, this isn't a week for the long shots, both because it's a short field, 30 guys, and because of the staggered start where you literally have Scottie Scheffler starting with a two-shot advantage. I think I saw this week if he had started, if you give him two extra shots on every start he made this year, he would have either won or been in the playoff 56% of the time.
Wow.
So he's always been in the mix. I would expect him to be in the mix again this week. In the 4 years since this format has started, the winner has either been the number one seed or Rory McIlroy. Rory's done it twice coming from behind, so he's someone to watch. I think if you go down the board, Xander Schauffele, who's starting six or seven shots back, he has a really good track record at East Lake, so he's someone to keep an eye on. But for the most part, I think if you go down to, there's 30 guys in the field, I think if you go through the top four, the guys that are starting from 10 under down to 6 under, and that's Scheffler, Hovland, who won last week, Rahm and Rory, I think your winner is going to be from that group, and it's just a matter of which one kind of nudges ahead of the other three.
Will, last question for you. How do the guys like this format? I mean, obviously it's a little different format, but again, it's a unique tournament, you know, in just, you know, when and where and everything like that, you know, being played with those, you know, this, what's at stake here. How do guys like this type of tournament with, you know, the staggered, you know, scoring and things like that? Like, how do they like this overall?
I think it depends on who you ask. I think the general sentiment is it's easy to understand. It's a little bit more straightforward than in previous years when you kind of had the dual trophy shot where you had one guy win the Tour Championship and one guy win the FedEx Cup, and you're trying to do math and permutations and projections on how many points your T4 gets you versus a T5. So this is more straightforward. When you tune in on Saturday and Sunday, you know, hey, he's leading. If he wins, he's going to win the whole thing. I still think it's hard to strike that balance between having a, you know, an 11-month season, essentially. Next year it's going to change where the 2024 season goes back to the calendar, so we're starting fresh in January. We're not doing the wraparound stuff anymore. But when you have a season of that length, it's hard to balance having a season-long champion where you want to reward someone like Scottie Scheffler, who has been so dominant for the past 9, 10, 11 months, versus giving the bottom five in the field a chance to win it all. And so you have to try and strike that balance where the guys up top feel like, hey, there's probably a little too much volatility. The guys at the bottom say, hey, I don't have as much of a chance as I need to in order to really make a run. So, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think they're trying their best to find a sweet spot. We're 5 years into this new format. I think it's provided a lot of excitement and entertainment, especially last year with Rory and Scheffler going down the stretch on Sunday. Hopefully we have another battle like that, maybe two or three guys really duking it out down the back nine, and we'll see. But anytime you're trying to balance 10 months with 72 holes and give everyone a chance on either side of it, it's tough to strike the balance.
I said last question, but I want maybe just a 30-second answer on another thing. Is there any extra motivation for golfers from sponsors or different things like that that's associated with this? I mean, besides just the prize money itself, are golfers, you know, is there any kinds of bonuses with sponsors or anything like that, that there's maybe extra incentive to win a tournament like this?
I would use the Don Draper line. That's what the money's for. You know, I think that all these guys have the prestige of, they want to be the season-long champion. They want their name on the FedEx Cup. There's a lot of perks that come with just making this elite field. You have a two-year exemption now. You're in all the majors in 2024. So just getting to East Lake is a huge achievement. And then from there, you kind of jostle it out, and you're playing for bragging rights and a whole lot of money.
Will Gray, he is our golf guy and oversees Golf Bet, your source for all things golf and betting. He is on Twitter, at Will Gray Golf Bet, and join me on the waitfor.com hotline. Will, as always, my friend, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for all season long being with us here, and we will certainly talk again here soon.
Yeah, sounds good, John. Be well.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, will be time for the Falcons flyover. All your news and notes, and we'll hear from Arthur Smith, Desmond Ritter, and Bijan Robinson. I guess it's Bijan now, right? It's not Bijan.
Bijan.
No.
It's Bijan.
Isn't it Bijan?
No, Bijan. Bijan.
Excuse me? Gesundheit. Anyway, all that next. Chuck from the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.